So I've got our favourite producer here, Aisha Herbert. All right, so kick it off. What are we talking about today?
All right, so if you have been on social media in the last couple of months, you probably would have noticed the hashtag going around, hashtag Free Britney.
Free Britney.
Yeah, and if you haven't, let me just give you a brief idea of what it means. So pop star Britney Spears is no stranger to the restriction of Hollywood and how dangerously captive it can be. She was thrown into the limelight at age of 16, and she was consistently overly sexualized throughout her teens and well into her 20s. And this affected her mentally. And unfortunately, she was the victim of a very public mental health breakdown in 2007. From then on, her father and manager, Jamie Spears, and in collaboration with their personal attorney, Andrew Wallet, they were granted a legal conservatorship over Britney, which basically gave them complete control over her and her assets, which is really, really upsetting, really sad. So in 2020, particularly at the peak of TikTok's popularity, Britney was at the forefront of the aforementioned hashtag after posting some very sketchy TikToks. And the TikToks felt very jarring and uncomfortable.
Staged.
Very staged, with Spears visibly looking constricted and seemingly trying to convey hidden messages within her videos. And the whole hashtag Free Britney hashtag was created in trying to boost up the popularity of that and visibly show everybody she needs help.
Yeah.
So it just seemed to die down after a little while.
It did. There was nothing that came out out of it until now, though, right?
We're getting to that.
Okay, sorry.
I mean, you know, the next hip thing emerged from the deep corners of the internet. But the hashtag is back, and it's after the release of a New York Times documentary called Framing Britney Spears. And the documentary goes into the complexities of Britney's life and what points things started to go wrong. So a lot of it's actually garnered a lot of attention and attraction from really well-known celebrities, actually, you know, giving their full support and visibly saying, this is not okay. Yeah. Everything that has been done to her is not okay. We need to act.
Miley Cyrus even gave a shout out in the Super Bowl performance. Yeah.
She was singing
Party in the USA.
Yeah, Party in the USA, and a Britney song was on. And after that line, she was like, we love you, Britney.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really sort of fascinating to kind of go into the whole complexities of exactly what's happening with Britney.
And I think that, you know, that there was, I mean, you and I were very young when this was happening, but there was a countdown to her 18th birthday that everyone was just like, yeah, this is cool. This is completely normal. I'm pretty sure they even had one for Billie Eilish.
Yeah.
Which is just gross on multiple levels.
It really brings to light just how toxic, you know, Hollywood is, and the whole idea of
sexualizing
young women,
children,
and
was completely okay.
Yeah, and obviously we saw the effects of that through her mental health. You know, it's not easy being always ridiculed about being a bad role model
for your
younger
children.
Younger
she was 25 children. Herself when she had this breakdown, I'm pretty sure.
And unfortunately, she had no control over not
money.
She couldn't cover up because she didn't have that choice. And so therefore she was overly sexualized. And so, you know, who knows what could come out of it. But, you know, Britney did have a couple of wins recently about the whole court case.
Because
I think the amount of years that was capped for the conservatorship was at its end or nearing its end last year. And so it was a big thing of who takes ownership of Britney.
Because her father gets a lot of her money.
Yeah.
Like pretty much all of her money.
Well, the whole idea is that Britney
gets no control over anything.
And she has no access to any of her funds or anything, which is really sad.
And she's also medicated as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of it is by force.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's interesting. I really want to keep a tab on this because it's such an emergent story and it's so, so relevant to everything that's happening now. I mean, you know, hashtag Me Too, all the ideas of what Hollywood is.
Paparazzi,
you know. And what it means to be a celebrity.
Yeah.
And what responsibility and what role do we have as fans and as celebrities and as
the general public,
to our individuality.
And to also, I think that in this past year, especially with COVID, as you know, everyone says, the idea of celebrity, I feel, is starting to be chipped away at.
It's not so much of a...
icon, like there's I feel like there's no such thing as like some sort of like a person that's on a pedestal that you can't touch, untouchable. I don't think that nowadays, at least for me and my approach to like the idea of celebrity, and you know, I mean, I was a massive fangirl in high school, love Harry Styles, still do. But you know, I just think that these people, we need to realize that they're people, and what happens to them just because that they're famous and because of the line of work that they're in doesn't mean that their whole lives are up for grabs.
Exactly.
To be seen. Anyway, so is that all we had on that one?
That's all we had on that one. I think we'll keep you guys segue into that.
Definitely. Yeah. So this one's a little bit lighter.
A little bit lighter.
I mean, it still had an impact on somebody, a negative impact. But New Zealand has sentenced a cactus smuggler who was caught with 947 plants strapped to her body.
I mean,
first of all,
ow.
Secondly, why? Why? Okay, so pretty much, and when I saw this headline, I couldn't help but think about my friend Jess. She's a plant mama, as she likes to say, or like, you know, we've given her that title. But anyway, I can see her definitely, if she was ever going to get in trouble with anything, probably taking some plant clippings.
Reminds me of my co-worker's mum.
Plant people be crazy.
Yeah, my co-worker's mum, she's from Mexico and she came to Australia and she took a bunch of clippings of Australian native plants and smuggled them in sandwiches.
In
sandwiches and took them on the plane. And now she has a bunch of Australian plants growing
in her backyard. What if one of her kids ate the sandwich? That would have been a different problem.
I mean, you know, it was herself. She was by herself. Oh. But
what if she? I mean, I totally would have forgotten. The jet lag totally would have gotten to me and eaten it. Anyway, so pretty much back in 2019, a 38-year-old woman named Wenqing Li, she tried to smuggle in nearly 1,000 cacti and succulents into the country and through strapping them to her body. So last week, she pled guilty to violating biosecurity laws after she was caught twice on two different occasions with plants and seeds at Auckland International Airport when she was trying to return home to China. And now she's been sentenced to intensive supervision for 12 months and 100 hours of community work. What does intensive supervision mean? Do you have any idea?
I feel like she probably obviously wouldn't be able to travel.
Some sort of probation, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely to do with travel because obviously she was trying to smuggle plants into a foreign country or from a foreign country.
Yeah. And it just makes me think like intense supervision. I can't help but think of like some just like FBI dude just following around this woman who's like trying to go get some plants.
Yeah.
Sort of funny. Yeah. Plant police. Anyway.
Don't get caught at a florist.
No. No flower power for you, my friend.
No.
So in the first instance of Plantgate, which is what I've deemed this, the amount of plants she had packing was worth $10,000.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of plants and included 8 endangered species, which is not good. And apparently she tried to flush them in the airport bathrooms after gaining the attention of a detector dog, which I'm silly. I didn't know that, like, my brain just automatically thinks that detector dogs only sniff out drugs.
Yeah.
They be getting your plants too.
Yeah.
They be getting your plants
too. Better watch out.
Anyway, so according to the, and then in the second incident, she was found in possession of 142 seeds hidden in packaged iPad covers in her luggage.
See, she probably thought that, oh, I can't have the physical plants.
But maybe seeds.
But maybe seeds. Maybe if they're like dried out seeds, I can rehydrate
that
them.
That is also seedy.
Yeah.
Anyway, so according to the authorities, she was a seller and trader of succulents on Trade Me, a classified website similar to like Craigslist in
that
China.
That checks out.
Yeah.
That checks out.
So New Zealand apparently has some of the strictest biodiversity laws to protect its agriculture and biodiversity. Fair enough. The MPI Departments of Investigating Manager Simon Anderson said that this sentencing serves as a good reminder that anyone who smuggles plants or other endangered species into New Zealand can expect to be prosecuted.
You know, I immediately think of every episode of border security.
Yeah, me too.
And I just imagine this being such a good episode.
That would have been so good. I mean, like, I don't understand. Part of me was thinking when I first saw the headline, it reminded me of maybe she was, they were like San Pedro cactus.
Yeah.
Which is the psychedelic cactus that is found like in Mexico, I think.
Mm.
And I only know of that because have you ever watched that movie, Crystal Fairy and the Magical Cactus with Michael Cera and who's the other lady? Gabby Hoffman.
Ah, I've heard about it. Haven't fully watched it.
He, in that movie, if you haven't seen it, he is just like trying to search out, trying to get high, whatever, bad, you know, I don't condone this. TSCR doesn't condone that. But yeah, he was just like really, really wanting this cactus. Mm. So maybe it's the same sentiment.
Maybe.
They just want an experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, I think, you know, I tell you every week that we have some of the weirdest stuff that we're going to be talking about, right?
Yeah.
I think this in particular is going to be taking the cake, for me at least.
Okay. All right. What
so,
is it?
Locks of George Washington, founding father and first president of the United States of America.
Think Hamilton.
Yep. And his wife, Martha Washington, locks of their hair are among 300 presidential artifacts hitting the auction block.
Ooh.
Yes. Boston-based RR Auction said online bidding gets underway Thursday and runs through February until Feb 18th.
Ooh.
Ooh. So if you're in America and want to bid on this, or maybe even you could bet on it here.
It's online.
You got 7 days, my friend.
I don't know how I feel about that, but, you know, I feel like my centerpiece table has been missing some locks of hair. And I think that would just tie it together, tie the room together.
And you have people over for dinner, you're like, hi, Brad, hi, Shirley.
It's a conversation piece.
Oh, the hair? Don't worry about it. It's just George Washington's. That's so weird.
That takes the cake because I'm stunned.
Other items being auctioned include John F. Kennedy's crimson Harvard sweater and a photograph of Lincoln and his son, Tad, signed by the 16th president. Oh, that's pretty cool.
That's cool.
But the clippings of Washington's hair, of the Washington's hair,
mm-hmm.
were passed down through their grandniece's family and include documentation.
Oh.
They're certified.
They're real.
The auction house has said, last year they sold a lock of Lincoln's hair wrapped in a bloodstained telegram about his 1865 assassination to an unidentified buyer for, guess how much?
How much?
$81,000.
No
American.
Way. That's a lot. Currency
I mean, it's got blood, but it's a bloodstained telegram.
Also,
you could recreate.
Whose blood?
We don't know.
Not Lincoln's.
Was it?
Because Lincoln would be holding it like a telegram about his assassination but in his hand as he gets
assassinated. Yeah, why is it bloodstained?
Yeah.
Because, like, who would they be? Ain't nobody delivering a telegram to Lincoln to be like, hey, man, you just got, however he died, shot, was it? Yeah.
Yeah, shot.
Yeah.
That's interesting. But you know what? I feel like a lot of Republicans might really feel a bit patriotic
Look, man,
to that.
Man, who are we to judge the American patriotism,
exactly.
Okay?
I mean, do we have any artifacts from our
We've
past
got
prime
a beer.
Ministers?
Hawkey. Hawkey's beer. Bob Hawke's.
True that.
But can I just say, that's way better than holding on to a lock of hair.
I'd go a beer any day.
Beer.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's the next thing?
Look, okay, so towns have taken matters into their own hands in Sweden by banning masks and other PPE equipment in places such as schools and libraries.
Huh?
Reasons? Because apparently there's no evidence that masks are a preventative of COVID.
Oh, yeah.
You heard that right. And no, it's not information that's just being selectively used by individual towns. In fact, according to the whole Swedish government, it is stated in their public health advice that there is very little evidence of it being effective. And, you know, this seems really crazy and absurd to us because we've just seen all of the effects masks have had on our own COVID cases recently, particularly for Sydney and Melbourne.
Yeah.
Like, we had, you know, over 300 cases a day, brought in some masks. Now we're on our 30th or something day with
we did have a case.
No cases.
We did have a case last week.
No local cases, though.
It was.
It was a local case?
Yeah, because somebody from got out of hotel quarantine on their 16th day. But that wasn't, I don't know if that led to any more. I think
that was international.
Yeah. Oh, okay,
so it doesn't
true.
Count as locally Fair transmitted.
Fair enough. Yeah.
But, you know, it just shows to, I mean, even though it was a case, it doesn't mean that it wasn't, you know, because of a mask.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting because I was reading the article and the European Centre for Disease,
yeah.
It's based in Stockholm, which is in Sweden. Mm. And I think it was the health minister of the Swedish government actually wrote to the centre and was like, you can't tell people that masks need to be mandatory and to wear masks because then it's going to incite that their spread is airborne, and that's a really bad misinformation way of spreading information, which is absurd. It's absurd.
Very absurd.
But, you know, unfortunately, it hasn't proven effective of not wearing masks because they're on the brink of a third wave for COVID cases, and the COVID cases are just creeping up since September. So,
man,
wear a mask.
Sweden, wear a mask.
Wear a mask.
Wear a mask. Hey, look, they can be fashionable. I think that they look cool.
Yeah, and, you know, cloth masks are very in, very savvy.
Designs.
Just wash them. They're reusable. They're safe for the
planet. Exactly. The mask knee is a thing. But you know what? I'd rather have mask knee than not breathe.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, Sweden.
Yeah.
Anyway, is that all the weird and wacky news for this week?
I think it is.
It is.
I think it is.
Well, thanks, Aisha, for that update.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks for having me.
No problem.